Hello, I'm Barrister Daniel Barnett, and welcome to episode 63 of Employment Law Matters on dismissing without following procedures. In this episode, I'm talking about a very recent Employment Appeal Tribunal case called Linda Gallagher and Abellio ScotRail Limited. Now, this is a case where the claimant, Linda Gallagher, was dismissed without any procedure being followed because of a breakdown in relations between her and her manager, and the dismissal, unusually, was held to be fair. I'm going to take you through the facts of the case, the Employment Tribunal's reasoning, and the judgment of Mr. Justice Chowdhury, the president of the Employment Appeal Tribunal.
Welcome to Employment Law Matters with Barrister Daniel Barnett.
So here are the facts. The claimant, Linda Gallagher, worked as the head of customer delivery and standards for Abellio ScotRail Limited. If you Google her, you'll find one of those pictures taken by a staff photographer as she strides towards the Glasgow Employment Tribunal looking angry and purposeful. Now, her LinkedIn profile says she was responsible for the overall ScotRail customer service strategy, continually reviewing and improving processes and policies in response to reactive and proactive customer insight. Ugh, who writes like that? Her boss at the time was Jacqueline Taggart, the head of customer relations. And Abellio ScotRail, as you know, operates the rail franchise in Scotland. We know from their website they're giving you quicker, more comfortable and better value journeys from door to door. The claimant and her boss, Jacqueline Taggart, got on well initially, but then Miss Taggart heard rumours that the claimant had made negative comments about her behind her back. There are a couple of requests that she made for a pay rise and she eventually got one, but it took longer than she would have liked. And in early 2016, Miss Taggart, the manager, decided that all her reports, including the claimant, Miss Gallagher, should participate in the on-call rota. Now, the decision doesn't actually tell us what that meant, but we do know the claimant wasn't happy about it and became increasingly resistant to being managed by Miss Taggart. So by October 2016, the end of the year, the claimant made it clear in her appraisal that she was looking for a different role within ScotRail. In mid-November, she went off sick. By this stage, Miss Taggart, the manager, was concerned that the claimant was doing a job she didn't enjoy and that their working relationship was deteriorating. For her return from sick leave absence in the new year, there was a meeting to discuss a phased return to work. And although the tribunal found Miss Taggart was being supportive, Miss Gallagher, the claimant, didn't think so, and she sent an email disputing Miss Taggart's account of that meeting. In March, a couple of months after she came back from sick leave, they held a meeting where they agreed to disagree over the recruitment of somebody in the claimant's team, and they discussed the fact their relationship had become difficult. Jacqueline Taggart, the manager, thought that Miss Gallagher, the claimant, was unfairly seeking to attribute all the blame for the deteriorating relationship to her, to Miss Taggart, and she was a bit taken aback by that. Meanwhile, Miss Taggart, the manager, began to receive complaints from Miss Gallagher's direct reports about Miss Gallagher's ability to provide support and her ability to delegate. So the tension is ramping up. Now, at this time, ScotRail was encountering financial difficulties and Miss Taggart, the manager, was under a lot of pressure. She spoke with the HR director and the head of HR, and she said she felt there needed to be an immediate change and that the claimant should leave the customer services directorate. They agreed, so that's both the HR director and the head of HR agreed with that, and they looked for alternative posts for the claimant, but there weren't any. And that being the case, they decided to dismiss her because of the loss of trust and confidence. Now, because the decision was already taken between the three of them, and because the matter wasn't one of performance or conduct, the head of HR took the view there wasn't any point having a formal process because he couldn't see a formal dismissal process making any difference. Remember, the claimant had been unhappy in her role for a while, and she'd been looking for an internal transfer for a while. It was pretty clear there weren't any other jobs for her to go into. As a result, she was called into a meeting, which she thought was an appraisal meeting. She was misled about that, and dismissed. She agreed, in correspondence shortly after that, that her relationship with Jacqueline Taggart had broken down. So that wasn't an issue. She accepted there'd been a full breakdown of the relationship. And there we have it. We had a dismissal without any disciplinary process or indeed any process. The claimant was called into a meeting that she was told was about something else after nearly 10 years' service and dismissed without any warning. Unsurprisingly, she brought an unfair dismissal claim. She also claimed disability discrimination and sex discrimination and age discrimination, but that's not something we need to worry about. Those claims were dismissed and they added little to Ms. Gallagher's case. What did the Employment Tribunal decide? Well, the Employment Tribunal didn't think Ms. Gallagher was an impressive witness. They described her as truculent and they felt that she lacked insight into the situation. And it held that although the underlying issues could have been characterised as performance or conduct related, the principal reason for dismissal, we're always looking at the reason or the principal reason in an unfair dismissal case, the principal reason for dismissal was the breakdown in trust and confidence. And that was properly characterised as some other substantial reason of a kind to justify dismissal. Now, that meant the ACAS Code of Practice didn't apply. Because the ACAS Code of Practice applies to dismissal for conduct and performance situations, but not to SOSR dismissals. And if the Code of Practice doesn't apply, strictly there can't be a breach of the Code of Practice, which means it's going to be easier for the employer to justify the dismissal as fair, despite the lack of procedure. Now, the tribunal went on to hold that the lack of any formal procedure would often lead a tribunal to conclude that dismissal fell outside the range of reasonable responses. That's obviously right. But it wasn't for the tribunal to substitute its own view for that of the employer, and in the circumstances here, said the tribunal, the respondent, the employer, was entitled to consider that the absence of a formal process wouldn't make a difference, and accordingly, the dismissal was fair. What did the Employment Appeal Tribunal say? Well, the EAT noted that the tribunal had stated the law correctly and said that the correct self-direction in law was properly applied to the facts of the case. It pointed out that in most cases, the failure to have any procedure, and especially the failure to allow an appeal in a situation where there was no formal procedure, would lead to a finding that the dismissal was unfair. A proper procedure, said the Employment Appeal Tribunal, is fundamental to notions of natural justice and fairness, and it's going to be a really rare case where an employer is acting within the band of reasonable responses if it doesn't have any procedure at all. But, said the EAT, but it's well established that there may be cases, albeit rare, where procedures can be dispensed with because they're reasonably considered to be futile in the circumstances. And that comes from the very well-known case of Polkey and Dayton Services, an old decision of the House of Lords. Now, although it's not listed in one place, as you go through the judgment, you can extract the important factors, all of which cumulatively, not individually, cumulatively, meant that this was one of those rare cases. I'm going to tell you five. Number one, the claimant was a senior manager whose continued good working relationship with her manager was critical during a difficult financial period for the respondent. So things might have been very different if the claimant was more junior. Number two, the claimant recognised that there was a breakdown in relations and she wasn't inclined to retrieve the situation. And bear in mind, of course, the tribunal had found she lacked insight into the situation and that she was truculent. Factor three, there'd been complaints about the claimant from her direct reports. So the problems went down the hierarchy as well as up. Number four, the employer actively considered whether a formal process would serve any useful purpose and decided it wouldn't. So distinguish this situation where the employer just doesn't think about following a process and is trying to argue retrospectively that it wouldn't have made a difference. There's a big difference between that and the situation here where the employer took the view, reasonably as the tribunal found, that a process would be futile. And 5, the respondent looked for alternative roles for the claimant, but there weren't any. The president of the Employment Appeal Tribunal, Mr. Justice Chowdhury, did say that any contention by an employer that following a procedure would be futile should be approached with caution. And that's a point I echo. In 25 years of practice, I've only been involved in a tiny handful of cases where an employer has won the argument that the dismissal was fair despite the complete absence of any procedure. Although, having said that, very few cases actually get near a tribunal if there's no procedure, because they'll be regarded as high risk and will generally get settled. The good news, according to LinkedIn, is that Ms. Gallagher found a new job pretty quickly, and she now works for Optima Health as a senior account manager.
Search Daniel Barnett for Employment Tribunal advice and representation.
And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Employment Law Matters, please do leave a review on the iTunes or your favourite podcast store or review site. Do subscribe. You can subscribe at danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast. And please listen in again next week. We release episodes every Tuesday. Thank you for listening, and bye-bye.
Any information on this podcast is for general guidance only. Always seek legal advice. Please see full terms at www.danielbarnett.co.uk/podcast-terms.